When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. A lot of things have been going on. A sad news story to report at the beginning. We are officially past Halloween.
Yep.
You know. It's a little bit of a blues situation. Now, you guys both have kids. Did you have Halloween adventures?
I did. It was the first year that my kid went trick-or-treating with her crew, sans parents, and they totally came back alive. I was very pleased with that outcome.
Congratulations, dude.
Nice.
That's a big step.
Thanks, buds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I donned a knight costume and roamed around with my son as he wore a Steve from Minecraft outfit. It was quite great.
Oh, I think I saw that posted somewhere. Yeah, that Minecraft outfit was impressive, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Came in a box.
and it comes out as a box.
Yep.
Right. Yep. Well, it looked good. It was actually one of my favorite costumes that I saw this year. In other news, we know that situations continue to deteriorate in several countries facing coups. We know that the world is kind of burning down. A lot of people here in the U.S. are maybe nervous about going to see their extended family for the next holiday, Thanksgiving. And the housing crisis continues. Maybe that's where our first story starts. This is a very personal housing crisis. If you want to hear about the more macro level housing crisis, check out our episodes on foreign investment in housing markets. But if you want to hear one of the strangest stories that we found recently about houses, then check this out. Matt, this is something that you dug up.
Yes, it is. It comes from the news, strangely. You know, if you want to find out about the housing crisis, just try and get qualified to buy a house right now. Good luck to you. Good Lord. But this one comes to us from Luton. Luton in Bedfordshire, United Kingdom. And it goes a little something like this, at least according to the headline. Luton man left shocked as his house is stolen. Now you may ask yourself, how could one steal a house? Is it mobile?
I was asking myself just that, Matthew. I was asking myself just that.
Ah, no. That is not how you can steal a house. You can steal a house by impersonating someone's identity, by stealing that identity, and then going through a solicitor or a real estate agent here in the States and convincing them you are that person, and then putting the house up for sale, selling it, and then taking the money. Ugh, that sounds scary. Wow. And just to make sure everyone is aware, solicitor is not a real estate agent. That's not a one-to-one. A solicitor would be like an attorney, a lawyer, or somebody like that. But here in the States, it's very often that there's an attorney and a real estate agent that work closely together when you're making a home purchase or selling a home. So that's what happened to a fellow, according to the BBC, and an investigation that the BBC and the show You and Yours did. One of the primary journalists associated with the story is Sherry, S-H-A-R-I-V-A-H-L, Sherry Vall, and just some great reporting here. Okay, this man named Reverend Mike Hall was not living in Luton in his home, the home that he owned. He was living in Wales, which is somewhat, quite a bit actually, to the east, 4.5-5 hours east of this area in Luton, and he was notified by his neighbors that all the lights were on in his home, and there was somebody moving about in that home, and they knew that he was not currently living there, so they were a bit perplexed. So this man, Mike, drove, you know, the 4 hours or however long it took for him to get back to his house, tried to get into his front door of the home that he owns, that his name is on the title, you know, the property deed, and his key doesn't work on the lock. So he knocks at the door. This person lets him in. And this person says to Mike, well, I'm just doing some building on the home. Mike notices that absolutely everything is stripped out of that house, again, that he owns. The furniture, parts of the walls, parts of the ceiling. The whole thing is being redone without his knowledge. Then, you know, he basically calls foul, right? This is my freaking house. Get out of here. The dude who was in the house leaves, only to return with some other person that explains that this home was purchased in July of this year, 2021. And they've got the, you know, they've got the paperwork for that sale and everything. So Mike is freaking out. He then calls up the authorities that have the thing in the United Kingdom called the Land Register. This is the only official record of who owns what land, what property is what person's, right? And within this land registry, if your name is on a piece of property, then you own that land, no matter what. And if you can somehow sneak your way in and put your name onto that land registry rather than the person who actually owns it, you now own that land. Unless you can go through some very, gosh, long procedural stuff to, you know, show that fraud has occurred and change it back to your name. Let's say if you're the property owner like Mike. Well, turns out somebody had gone to essentially what it would be the DMV here in the United States, but it's the DVLA is what it's called there in the UK. And they had used Mike's identity, like parts of his identity and information, to get a brand new driver's license, like a replacement one that you've probably done before in your lives. I know I've done that before. This person was able to trick the DVLA into reissuing a driver's license that had a different address, that had a different signature, and a couple other different things, but had a lot of the primary information on there to prove that it was Mike, even though it was not.
Right.
Then whoever did this identity theft took that license, placed a different photograph into it, essentially, of whoever this person was going to be that was impersonating Mike to make the sale, and then used that successfully to make this home purchase occur. And then they took the money, £131,000, and just left. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. One of my first questions for you here, Matt, is do you think that the pandemic and COVID procedures made it easier to perpetrate this kind of theft? Like, was it possible that he was just doing it online and just had the right information?
I can't tell you precisely that that's what happened, but I'm just with you. I think that's probably the case, right? Nobody's actually going in to the DVLA, or you don't have to go into the DVLA to prove who you are in the same way during COVID restrictions as you would in normal times, whatever that will be in the future or what it was in the past. But I can totally see that step, that physical step away from being in person doing some of these things would cause it to be easier.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how they can now figure out who the fake Mike is, who's Mike 2, you know? How do they do a mic check on these sorts of situations? Like, would they be able to use facial recognition of this person's photograph? Would they be, I don't know, because I went to, while we were talking, just for curiosity's sake, I hopped on to gov.uk I was looking at the process of renewing a license, which it appears you can do online in its entirety.
Yeah. And one of the reasons they know you're talking about facial recognition. They've got a picture of somebody, whoever that, you know, somebody who was a part of it, right? Somebody who pretended to be Mike in one situation or another where documents were changed hands or something, right? And that ID was needed because a copy of that ID is with the BBC folks who did the investigation, as well as, I guess this, I don't know who it is, because it's not the police. This is not a criminal offense in the same way you'd imagine a lot of other crimes like this maybe should be. This is considered a civil thing, I guess, in Bedfordshire. So they can't like press charges in the same way against this person to then, you know, have the law enforcement do facial recognition to track this person down.
Right.
But they do have voice. They do have the voice of somebody who was a part of this team, perhaps, or maybe it's the same person. They've got a voice recording from the solicitor, the attorney, with whom this person worked to sell the house. And there's two recordings of it where you can hear this person's voice clearly. And again, BBC, You and Yours, that's the program. You can go there and listen to it. It's bbc.co.uk/sounds, and you can find it there.
So are you saying that what would typically be considered evidence of a crime is like somehow inadmissible in this situation? That they can't run vocal recognition to tie this to a person's identity?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying it's not a police investigation, at least according to what the BBC is saying. And Mike, according to Mike, he went to the police and tried to, you know, write up a report, like a crime report. Right. But they said, no, this is not a crime. This is a civil offense. We can't do anything about it. But you can, you know, go down all these other routes. So I'm just imagining it'd be more difficult to like get those resources to do, I don't know, vocal recognition, facial recognition, all that stuff.
Let me add a bit of karma in here if we haven't mentioned it before. And if you're the thief and you're listening to the show, you know, first off, thanks for tuning in. You know, don't agree with your choices, but give us a review. And here's the thing. This guy is a vicar. So you're stealing from a religious figure as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. And just a terrible situation to be in if you, you know, own a property. And that's a lot of money, especially who knows how much you've got invested into it, how much maybe your mortgage was worth or how much equity you had. It's just a terrible situation to have it completely taken out from under you. And it seems like you don't have much you can do about it. And plus, you know, what if the people who purchased that property were completely innocent? Just there was some fraudster is what the BBC refers to them as. Some fraudster sold it to you. And now what? You've got to give the property back and then try and get your money back somehow?
Right.
Not a great
situation.
How do
you kick people out? They did everything right on their end.
Yeah.
They just didn't know that there was a fake mic in the mix. You know,
exactly. There was a fake mic. Okay. So last thing we're going to just mention here, if you are in the UK, first listen to that BBC, I think it's a podcast or maybe just a radio program. Listen to that. Get some of the details for yourself. You can read in the BBC, the story itself. And then check on maybe your situation, your identity situation, because the DVLA alerted the real Mike that someone tried to reissue his driver's license. DVLA, again, like the DMV here in the US. And Mike said, no, I haven't had my license reissued. The DVLA then says, oh, okay, well, we'll rescind this new one that we just issued. No problem. But I guess they didn't do it in time, or they didn't do it effectively enough. And this person was able to impersonate Mike still. Yeah. If you're in the US, you can go to a bunch of different places. I found a great article on Quicken Loans, which, you know, it's not a plug for them, but they've got a great article that shows what you can do to kind of protect yourself if you're a property owner of any kind against this kind of abuse, I guess.
Yeah. And Matt, I'm wondering, from what I was reading, it looks like this case is, of course, a bummer, but it's also maybe not necessarily unique.
Mike is not alone here in the UK. You can look on that BBC article and actually find out that there was, what, £3.5 million worth of compensation due to fraud that the land registry paid out over the last year. So, I mean, if you think this is £131,000, if you multiply that out, I mean, that's not a ton of land registry fraud in this way, but it's enough. And if you jump to the U.S. and you think about it, and, you know, any other country, but specifically in the U.S., according to that Quicken Loans article, the FBI says that 9,600 victims lost over $56 million in 2017 due to real estate and rental fraud. So this is a real problem. It's just, it depends on when you catch it, like when you catch that the problem is occurring, right? Because if it gets too far along in the process, then it's very difficult to at least get money back.
So stay alert, folks.
That's right. Stay alert. We are going to jump to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more strange news.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. This story is definitely a bit of a bummer, but it is kind of an escalation of some types of stories that we've covered over the years. The idea that a lot of Asian countries have very, very tight gun laws, so they don't have mass shootings in the way that we do here in the United States, which is obviously a very, very good thing. Unfortunately, that does not mean there aren't mass attacks that take place often in public settings like schools or train stations. Recently, we talked about a story out of Singapore where a lot of concerned parents were understandably upset about some creepy clowns that were hanging out outside of schools. It turned out they were just passing out flyers or trying to hip these kids to this like special learning academy to like, you know, do test practices or test prep or whatever, and that particular company rightfully got an earful on the internet. Today, unfortunately, we have the reason that things like that would be of concern to parents. A young man, a 24-year-old in Japan, in Tokyo, dressed up as the Joker, particularly the I guess it was kind of a combination of the Joaquin Phoenix Joker and the Heath Ledger Joker, wearing kind of a purple suit and a green shirt, went on a stabbing rampage on a train on the way to Shinjuku, which is a very, very busy train station in Tokyo. It was the Kaio line, K-E-I-O. He had a knife and he apparently just went wild, slashing and stabbing at people while also dousing the train cars in lighter fluid. And according to some reports, set a few small fires. There were 17 people that were injured in the attack. Some that were cut, one man that was stabbed in the chest, and some others that were injured by smoke inhalation. If you can imagine, setting a fire in a closed system like one of those moving subway cars would be bad news if it was, you know, enough. You could definitely get some nasty smoke inhalation from that. The chilling part about this is that the young man named Kyota Hattori, after he finished his spree, he just sat in the train car with his legs crossed, smoking a cigarette. And there's video of people screaming and running in fear and panic. And then there is one quick shot. It's like something out of a found footage horror film of this guy just sitting by himself, smoking a cigarette, wearing this Joker outfit. And he apparently, according to what he told police, admired the Joker as a character, you know, the clown prince of crime. He was known for sowing havoc and just kind of being an agent of chaos. And he was hoping that he would get the death penalty. He specifically said that he wanted the death penalty, and he was very disappointed that he didn't actually kill anybody. He didn't manage to kill anybody. So while this is horrific, these types of lone wolf attacks in other countries, specifically our country, typically, you're not going to walk away from that without some fatalities, because these folks are using, you know, military grade weapons that are, you know, semi-automatic or fully automatic weapons. In this situation, it's one man with a, you know, a blade, a stabbing implement. So there has to be some precision involved, as opposed to just kind of, you know, just spraying a train car with bullets, where you're probably going to have a huge number of fatalities. So the fact that no one was killed is obviously a huge blessing, but it is very, very troubling. The man was described by folks who knew him in the same way as folks like this are often described, as not having very many friends, as being very quiet, someone who they would never think would take any initiative, is a quote that was printed in a Japanese publication called Kyodo News. There's an English language version of that story. It's just, you know, it's the same kind of thing we hear in the States of these lone wolf attackers that, you know, were, oh, they seemed so innocuous and unthreatening. But this man apparently had been thinking about killing for a long time. He said that he had been having trouble with work. He had lost his job, likely due to some of these antisocial issues. And he had also, you know, he just vaguely kind of referred to the collapse of his relationships. But you can definitely see video of this. There's stills of like a fire in a train car further down and smoke kind of flooding in. So these were not just small fires. You can actually see in the doorway that connects the two train cars an absolute blaze. That's really the gist of it. This is one of a handful of these types of attacks. There was an acid attack on a train station also in Tokyo. There was another attack earlier in October, October 15th, where two men were stabbed by a man at a JR Ueno station. And also in late August, there was a man who sprayed sulfuric acid in the face of another man. So, you know, while the gun laws are obviously keeping these attacks from claiming so many lives, these particularly grisly and up close and personal types of attacks are truly troubling. I don't know, guys. I mean, we're not here to psychoanalyze the population of Japan or anything like that, but I think it's no different than any other city or any other culture, maybe. And just the fact that the laws are different sort of leads to the types of attacks that we're seeing. But also, they aren't nearly as common as, you know, gun attacks here in the United States.
Right. Yeah, and there are a couple of things we should take note of here. His reasons, at least from when I was reading Japanese news on this, his reasons seem a little vague. Like you said, he said he wasn't getting on well with his friends. It sounds like the thing that was really the feather on the camel's back here was the he felt he had messed up at work, but the police say he had no fixed address. So he was already kind of on the outs of society. On a larger scale, what we can see is that there is a dangerous predictor for instability in a population, and it's disaffected young men without community, right? That's one of the big factors that can lead to instability in any society. This guy clearly, as you said, thought about this for some time. He was only, he's 24, right, when this occurred.
That's right.
Yeah. So what...
It was on Halloween, by the way.
Yeah. We don't know what the legal decisions will be here. There is one person in critical condition, I think. But so far, they have not passed away. That's going to be one of the big, big factors of what happens to him. And if he does get the death penalty, do you guys know how the death penalty works in Japan? It's horrifying.
I don't. I'd love to. It's obviously right. Grisly stuff, but I have no idea, actually.
So if you get sentenced to the death penalty in Japan, you're on death row. One thing that you will not know is your date of execution. One day, they will just walk in, and they will take you, and they will execute you. Might be
what
a year, might
be a few months. Execution?
I believe executions are mainly carried out by hanging in Japan, which is a nasty way to go, of course, but what, you know, if the one person who's in critical condition now actually does expire, then it could become a death penalty case. I mean, it's obviously premeditated. I don't know what kind of mental health arguments could be made, and I don't know how they would fly in the Japanese legal system. You know what I'm saying?
I got a question for you. If a guy like this wants to be executed on death row, I mean, obviously he wants to make a big show of it. He's not beholden to hire a lawyer who's going to make a good argument for him, right?
You know what? I don't know because I've luckily never been involved with the Japanese legal system in that regard.
You see what I'm getting at, though?
Yeah.
Like if someone really had it, you know, in their mind, they wanted to be executed by the state, couldn't, I mean, again, we know like here, for example, you could probably torpedo your own case by representing yourself poorly. Or just, you know, swearing off your right to an attorney. I would be interested to know how that works in Japan. But also, it really does speak to this guy's mental state. If he wanted to die so badly, why not just kill himself as opposed to making such a big show of it and then being executed by the state? He obviously has some kind of delusions of grandeur, some sort of form of megalomania where he needs to be like the center of attention in some way, it seems.
Certainly seems that way. I believe he said maybe in that France 24 article that he wanted to die, but he couldn't do it himself. So he came up with a plan to die. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm thinking back particularly to the Halloween thing that he carried it out on Halloween when there are multiple people probably on that train, definitely in the train station, around the train station, that are in costume. You wouldn't think twice seeing a Joker walking around on Halloween night. And he chose that day amidst that confusion that's already there to carry out this attack. That alone should lead to whatever he gets, you know, officially charged with and how a judge adjudicates that.
Yeah, the system for deciding the death penalty or a conviction of any sort is pretty fascinating. It's different from what happens in the U.S. District courts try these capital cases with a team of like three professional judges and then six citizens, non-judges, chosen at random.
Is that like a stand-in for a jury?
It's called the lay judge system.
Interesting.
So this is a different environment, but I would point out, so I've been to Shinjuku and, you know, you guys are right. It's a big, big place. It's also not unusual to see people in costume in general. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the district for that. Isn't that like like one of the big districts for like fashion? No, that's Harajuku. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm confusing my Jukus, but still in Japan in general, I mean, it's like not uncommon to see people cosplay, you know, all over the place.
Right. Exactly. There was, when I was there, I saw some people in costume as well. But to your point, Matt, people in Japan are aware of the tradition of Halloween, and I think it's been growing in popularity for a number of years now.
It is interesting, speaking to his mindset in terms of how he viewed his victims. There is a scene in the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie where at a pivotal moment in, you know, whatever his character's name is, Gary Fleck or whatever, his transformation into the Joker, he kills some bully type men on a subway train. And that sort of marks his metamorphosis, the beginning of his like metamorphosis into the Joker. So I'm wondering if this guy, I mean, obviously he had to have some malice towards those who, you know, rejected him or in some way he couldn't like break through and have a connection with. The reports, you know, from the passengers that were on the train say he just like acted like a robot. He had no emotion in the act as he carried it out.
And I saw that he specifically said to the police that it didn't matter who his victims were. He just thought that if he killed, two or more people, he'd be a shoo-in for the death penalty.
I guess that's right. Yeah. I don't know. I just think the connection between the scene in Joker and him and the particular type of outfit that he chose to wear. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably overthinking it, but I think you're right. I think at the end of the day, his end game was just to, you know, kill as many people as possible, which thankfully in this type of situation is not as easy as one might think. One person with a knife, you're not going to have a high kill rate unless you're incredibly precise and know exactly what you're doing. People were able to escape out of windows. You've got accounts from, you know, commuters that say they barely escaped the train car that he was on. But they thankfully did. And many that spoke to the press were not injured at all.
And to your point, Ben, about Halloween, that, hey, that's my fault, guys. I'm just looking at the footage of the actual incident and almost nobody is wearing a costume because they're not celebrating Halloween widely. Sorry about that. That very American centric there on my part.
Oh, no. I mean, I think it was from about the year 2000. Since then, Halloween has been growing in popularity. So even if people weren't dressed up, they were aware of it. And Shinjuku is a huge place. So like Noel was saying earlier, it isn't unusual to see someone in costume. If you want a really cool, on a much lighter note, if you want a cool look at how Japan has handled some other Western holidays, look at the KFC and Christmas. It's an amazing story. Still not sure how I feel about it, but KFC is huge for Christmas in Japan.
That's right. We did an episode about that on Ridiculous History, if I'm not mistaken. And Matt, you're not wrong. He had come from a particular district that was very Halloween-y. And also the BBC, I'm sorry, the Guardian reporting on it says, quote, "Witnesses told public broadcaster NHK how petrified passengers had fled to adjoining carriages
and jumped out of windows during the attack, which occurred on Sunday when the Japanese capital was full of Halloween revelers, many in costume. So, I mean, the footage we have is limited.
Okay. Aha! We're all right.
Vindicated! Yes, we're all right. But this story is nothing but wrong, and it's a very sad story. Again, I'm not trying to soapbox here about gun control or anything, but it does show that having some form of gun control does keep these incidents from causing more deaths. You know, if this was somebody with a submachine gun, you know, it would have been a much higher fatality rate. So with that, let's take one more pause for a word from our sponsor and then be back with one more strange news.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we have returned. We're not going to leave you hanging with these grim stories of crime, of depravity and tragedy and, you know, stealing somebody's identity and then stealing their house. Those are two terrible things. We wanted to end today with something that could maybe not be terrible, but it could also be terrible. I was thinking about how to get into this story. It amazed me. You guys know I read pretty widely about weird things like this. We all know what a sperm whale is. It's the most hilariously named whale, right?
If you're a child like we are, which we are.
Right. It's also a sperm whale. It's also a incredibly intelligent cetacean. Its brain is enormous.
Ben, if I could, I just want to say, I think it's delightful that you can both giggle about sperm whale, but then also use the very smart word cetacean. You contain multitudes, my friend.
It's too kind. That goes for everyone, every one of us, and every one of us listening at home. We do contain multitudes. Here's the thing. For a long time, people have been arguing over whether or not animals have something called language. For a lot of folks in academia and in the world of science, language is almost like one of the last bastions of human exclusivity. The more we have learned about animals over millennia, the more we have learned that they are, in some cases, capable of doing things that we would normally think only people could do. Like animals can make tools. Animals can teach their young knowledge transmitted across generations for a long time. Some of my favorite birds, corvids, are an excellent, if at times disturbing, example of this. And cetaceans as well are incredibly intelligent. They have, you know, you've all heard the idea of like whale communication. We've heard of whale songs, and you've probably gotten a chance to hear some of those online before. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's not exactly the newest Limp Bizkit album, but there's definitely a structure to it.
It is just one of those things. Wait, one of those days? Dang it! I screwed up the Limp Bizkit reference. Please,
we worked on this days. Earlier. Yes. That's our Limp Bizkit shout out. We did it, guys. We got there. So sperm whales actually speak in clicks. So they make these clicking noises. Think almost like Morse code, and they're rhythmic. And they're in these series called codas. And these codas appear to be communication. Now, people who don't believe that animals, non-human animals, I should say, can communicate through language would say, well, they don't have two of the big defining factors of language, which are things like grammar. That turns out not to be entirely true. Grammar is the reason that we order words in the way that we order them, regardless of which language you're talking about, or at least that goes with most languages. There's this excellent article in The Atlantic by Christoph Drosser and Hakai Magazine, which is about the newest attempt to speak to whales, to speak to cetaceans. It's pretty amazing. But before we talk about it, I'd like for us all to recall one of the other famous attempts to communicate with cetaceans when people were getting LSD'd up with a dolphin and eventually led to, I mean, getting there's no jiggy. Other way to say it, led to hand stuff.
Uh-huh. Yep. Those dolphins are some slippery critters, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, he had a strong
put him in a flooded chamber with a attractive lady, you know, all hopped up on LSD. Mm-hmm. I mean, things are going to happen.
Some low lights, got Sade playing, you know, a bit of Quiet Storm.
Mm. Where do my hands end and your fins begin?
Are they fins? They're not fins, are they?
It's a dorsal fin. It's got a fin on the back. Right.
I believe the technical term is flappadoos.
The flappers.
Flappadoos, yeah. So, people know that there is a complex communication pattern in a lot of cetaceans. Does it meet the standards of what people call language? That's still up for debate in a lot of folks' minds. But now, human civilization may finally have an answer to that question because people are using artificial intelligence and machine learning to figure out whether sperm whales have a language and, if possible, whether humans can speak directly to the whales. This is the aim of something called Project SETI, Cetacean Translation Initiative. It's, you know, it's like SETI with an S, but they're searching for intelligence beneath the waves.
As above, so whatever.
Yeah, deep, deep, deep below. So obviously lots of members of the animal kingdom, you know, communicate. It's obviously functional, you know, like, oh, there's predators over here, or we're just trying to, you know, put out a call to let you know where other members of your, you know, group might be, right? Is the sense that there's some sort of thinking that there might be more specificity to these whale conversations than just pings like a submarine?
Yeah, the idea is that they're, because they have such high intelligence, the idea is that possibly if this program can work out what whales are saying and determines they are saying stuff to each other, then it would be possible for humans to maybe speak with them in their own language. But this is like, Noel, recently I lent you that book, The Story of Your Life and Others. And The Story of Your Life is the inspiration for that film, Arrival. And Arrival is about humans trying to figure out how to speak to something very, very different. So we would be in a situation like this with whales if this program works out. And there's still, like, it's not 100% right now. You have our word. There's not somebody at Project SETI discussing, you know, the best parts of the ocean with a whale right now, right? Or, you know, trying to figure out the flappadoo version of a high five. But this is much closer to reality than I think a lot of people might assume. And in my opinion, the reason I wanted to bring this to everybody is I'm surprised it's not getting more coverage. And it's an example of something that I think all of us have been looking for some time, which is highly sophisticated machine learning that's not used as a weapon of war. So, if what it, so
I mean, yet yeah, until right. we like put lasers on the whales and figure out how to mind control them,
or until if it's a true AI, what if it listens to the whales, it learns their language, and they make some really good points, and it's like, nope, the whales are right. Forget you guys.
Or we can start to use whales to, like, you know, triangulate positions of naval crews, you know, attack squadrons. I'm obviously not a military analyst here, but you know what I mean? Like, there would certainly be a way to weaponize this technology. That's how all good science starts. I mean, not all, but like a lot of good science starts with the best of intentions and a purely exploratory kind of thirst for knowledge. And then the moment that it becomes worthwhile to co-opt into a military purpose, that thing will happen.
Yeah. Let's also consider that there's still a lot of speed bumps in the way. First, we have to understand what things are saying. It's not going to do human scientists any good to have a bot that, for its own sake, understands whale language and just talks to the whales, and the humans have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
Also, that could lead to some sort of mutiny in the world order. But if they can gather huge amounts of data, that alone is not going to be enough. The language, the clicking they're making. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do is have Alexis, could you play us a sound cue of a sperm whale communicating? Matt, Noel, check this out. Let me know what you think.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Weird. It's like, it sounds like industrial music. It's just got, like, it very much has this sound of like machinery, like a spoke, you know, clicking or something mm-hmm. like that. Like it's a very captivating kind of sound. Like it really does have this science fiction quality to it.
Yeah. It's also enormously dangerous to humans. Like the
decibel wise,
the vibrations. Yeah. They actually use these buzzes, these clicks, and these squeaks in their hunting activity. So if you were too close, this could have a pretty rough effect on you as well. But the question again is this a language? It sounds so alien. You know what I mean? There are a few human languages that use clicks, but we may be asking ourselves, why would you focus this machine learning approach on sperm whales as opposed to some other whales? The answer is all in the clicks, because those are easier, candidly, to translate into something quantified. Zeros and ones, click or not click, you know?
Got it.
Makes sense. It's almost a numerical language in some ways, right?
It may be. But again, you know, there are a lot of people who think language is just for humans. The other big issue is that it's not enough just to relay this language. You have to know, if you want to see if the whale understands what humans are saying through these computers, then you would have to be able to decode the whale's reaction, right? Which would mean you'd have to know where the whale was when it heard this whale tail. And then you'd have to see, like, did it move differently? You know what I mean? Do whales have the equivalent of laughter? Do they have the equivalent of get the hell out of my yard? You know, what do they have? What's in their toolbox?
I think the thing that a lot of people go back to in these kinds of stories is Coco the gorilla, you know, where, but we have to remember too that Coco was taught to communicate with humans. You know, it was a very, like, you know, human language forward situation, where Coco was taught to interact with humans and taught human sign language and all of that. So this would be like the reverse, and they have no frame of reference for any human concepts, right? It's the same. It was the same deal in Arrival.
Right.
You had to totally reframe your thinking about language.
Sadly, what experiences they do have with human beings are probably not positive ones, unfortunately. There's a funny line that that really got to me. The leader of the SETI program said the following. He said, "We understand that one of our greatest risks is that the whales could be incredibly boring." So, like, what if they're just funny duds? They're sticks in the oceanic mud. I doubt that's the case. But I think it's humble for them to say it. I'd said like to leave us with a quote by a guy named Michael Bronstein. He's an Israeli computer scientist who is teaching at Imperial College London. And he's one of the folks who's intimately tied up with Project SETI. And he said something that I'd like to share with you guys. He says, "I think it is very arrogant to think that Homo sapiens is the only intelligent and sentient creature on Earth. If we discover that there is an entire civilization basically under our nose, maybe it will result in some shift in the way that we treat our environment, and maybe it will result in more respect for the living world." Optimistic. I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you think the whales are going to say?
F*** you, humans.
I can't with correct rapid.
Oh, this is a really dumb thing to bring up. I'm going to do it anyway because we just finished Halloween. I recently, or the other night on Halloween, or maybe it was Halloween Eve, watched the quite terrible Stephen King film adaptation. He actually directed himself, called Maximum Overdrive.
That's a brilliant piece of art.
It's something, but it's about, you know, this alien intelligence that inhabits machines on Earth. And the very first scene is Stephen King in his, like, you know, obligatory cameo, trying to get some money out of an ATM machine. And the little, you know, header kind of scroll on the bank says, "F*** you." And then the ATM machine screen says, "You are an asshole." And then the first line before the title of the movie comes up is Stephen King goes, "Marsha, this machine just called me an asshole." Mm-hmm. So, you know, machines don't probably have the best opinion of humans either. But I have a feeling if we could interpret the calls of these whales, that it would probably, there would be some knowledge of the horrors that we have wrought on the oceans and their fellow, you know, cetaceans.
Well, they are mammals, so they have a lot of the components needed cognitively for language. They're matriarchal societies. They also, their communications, dude, they have dialects. Sperm whales have regional dialects, and they're not always mutually intelligible. Or people, you know, whales don't respond the same to dissimilar dialects the same way that you might not understand someone who has a very strong regional English accent of some sort or another. You know, I mean, we live in the States, and you can drive to a different state and have a hard time understanding people. So there's no reason that whales would be any different. I'm excited, but I don't know where it's going to go. I wonder. And this is something I wanted to leave with the rest of us listening along at home. I wonder what they would say. I wonder how aware they would be. And I wonder what they would want humans to know. I mean, they're familiar with boats. They can be incredibly long-lived. They are aware that there's something on the other side of the water. They definitely are. They probably, maybe they just don't know about continents. You know what I mean? Maybe their entirety of communication is a shared oral history. Maybe they are telling the story of themselves to the dwindling number of sperm whales that remain. And if they have a language, does that mean they could be up for legal personhood? Check out our episode on legal personhood and let us know. Also, this is random, but just at the very end, if you could choose one animal, one kind of animal to talk intelligibly, What would it be?
Parrot. Oh, wait. I don't know. I think yeah, I don't know. The sea creatures are very ancient and very wise. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like crocodiles or, you know, like creatures that live for a very, very long time. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Something deep, deep, deep sea. I'd be interested in finding out, like, if they could speak.
One of those weird angler fish with the lamp on their heads.
What if we find out, like, we finally, after years of studying what was recorded in the year 2021, that everything uttered by sperm whales, and we find out that they're just humming The Weeknd or Dua Lipa or something,
yeah,
and they've just become overwhelmed with our pop music scene.
Right. It's a different culture war. Yeah. What if they're stuck in the 90s and they love JNCOs and math rock? And they think everything is sick and they say hella a lot. That would be interesting. I would love to hear from an octopus. I also discovered that, you know, the problem with an octopus, which is probably the most alien form of intelligent life we know about on this planet so far, problem with is that they have such short lifespans because their reproductive process is so inherently inextricably tied to their demise. But there is a brain surgery you can conduct on a female octopus that will allow it to live longer. So I'd be very interested to hear what they have to say. I know a lot of our fellow conspiracy realists are going to kill us if we don't mention this. It is quite possible that when we do speak to cetaceans, they say so long and thanks for all the fish.
There you go.
You got there.
Sperm whales, by the way, have a lifespan of 70 years.
Yeah.
Whereas I believe, I mean, they've been around for a long time, but crocodiles have a much longer lifespan. I think they're like one of the longest living creatures, you know, on the planet, if I'm not mistaken.
And the longest living marine mammal is also a whale. It's not a sperm whale, though. It's called the bowhead whale. We can't wait to hear what you think, folks. Which animal would you want to speak with? Is there any animal you definitely want to avoid speaking with? What do you think is the future of these real estate crimes and these lone wolf attacks? Let us know. We try to be easy to find online.
You can find us on the internet and the usual social media places of note. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on YouTube at the handle Conspiracy Stuff. You can also find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram. On Facebook, you can also find our group. Here's Where It Gets Crazy. Join that thing. So a lot of good fun folks, good fun meme exchanges and conversation. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, and if you leave the social meds unsipped, instead, use your mouth to contact us. You can call our number 1-833-STDWYTK. You have 3 minutes. You can leave whatever message you want to. Give yourself a wonderful nickname, whatever it is, we'll take it. And you know, say what you want. But if you can't fit the entire message into 3 minutes, instead, get your keyboard out, start clacking away, and send us a good old-fashioned email address. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.